Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you're ready to dig into a constitutional perspective of what we're kind of looking at in the news. And so I want to get into a lot of this has to do with the marketing I've talked about before. But before I really dig into this, don't forget that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as MobiusStripPress.com. And if you go to both of these sites, you'll be able to garner a lot about Republic Review and the role the states have in oversight over the Constitution. Another factor is you want to download the podcasts on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And there are three primary reasons for that. Is this is the only solution-based show on the radio today. There may be other shows that promote other things. Well, let's say there's a show that promotes the Convention of States that is not solution-based, that will solve our problems. Same thing with those shows that articulate and argue for the support of getting our guys in and getting these elected officials in. All we need to do is just get them in there. That ain't going to do it either, folks. We've got two centuries of proving that that doesn't work, and we can't rely upon the federal government and the court system to deal with this, because they'll just continue to rule in their favor, as Thomas Sowell points out. So bottom line, this is the only show on air that actually deals with the constitutional solution to fixing the federal government's overreach and pulling it back to where it needs to be. The content on this show refers to, and this is just another reason for you to download these podcasts, the content on the show interrelates with other content on previous shows and upcoming shows. And so you'll want to stay abreast with these if this is your first time listening to this show. So you want to download these podcasts and catch up. You're not too far behind. I think this is episode 26. So you've got time. Anyway, bear in mind that for the third reason, that the content on this show is not ephemeral or perishable. Because of what I go through in the historical context and the facts as they lay out towards the Constitution and giving you examples and so forth, this content will not necessarily become irrelevant over time, that it maintains its relevancy as long as we have a constitutional republic. So don't forget, you can download these podcasts at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The standing question that I have for anybody that wants to call in, does the Constitution protect religious freedom? Was that really what the Constitution says, and what was the intent at that time? And so I think that's a good dialogue to have, because I think a lot of people have the standard paradigm is not what I would consider the framers' paradigm. But anyway, I've been going on and on and on and on about marketing and the unconstitutional government that we're dealing with. And now that Mueller, the former FBI director, has expanded the scope of his investigation to, you know, anything and everything, it has become, the evidence is that this is a witch hunt, and they're going to try to do anything and everything they can to find a minuscule of something on Trump so that they can move forward in impeaching him. Or at least trying to do that. And I think that if they let this Mueller investigation go beyond the primaries this year and into the election and beyond the election, because with Soros liquidating, I forget how many billions of dollars, and him pumping it into these resistance organizations, Antifa and so forth across this nation, there's a good likelihood that he's doing everything he can to buy the influence. And so I don't understand why Trump and the Department of Justice isn't looking into that, where, you know, they're kind of looking at, Mueller is looking at now UAE previously it was Russia. And so now that there is no there, and that was the defined scope of his investigation, he has just automatically expanded that. So I think it's time that he who pays the piper calls the tune. And since we, the taxpayers, are the pipers paying the tune here, I think it's time that people start speaking up and saying, shut this down. We're spending way too much money, way too much focus on something that isn't there. And you give somebody long enough, they'll find some discrepancy. Having served in the Marine Corps for 20 years and having done inspections, and even when you have the most immaculate and what you believe to be the perfect display for a junk on the bunk, any Marine knows what that is, there's always, always something you can find that's wrong. And you can find a wrinkle, a little string, Irish pennant, what have you. And so there's always the ability to find a discrepancy and make light of that. And so anybody worth their salt will always be able to find something. And so with Mueller having to expand his investigation, apparently his competency isn't of such, or what they thought they had wasn't there. So they have to dig deeper and try to even go beyond these the scope of what he had. So that's kind of troubling. But the bottom line, like I said, this is an unconstitutional agency, the FBI, and what they're doing. And the fact that the Department of Justice is unconstitutional, they're not supposed to exist either. And what they're looking for is outside the scope of the Constitution. Now, I believe that there should be some mechanisms, but let's do it constitutionally. Let's figure out what those mechanisms should be for maintaining ethics and so forth. But for the existence of the FBI, for the existence of the Department of Justice to be able to use this unconstitutional power so indiscriminately and be able to use tyranny, that's a problem. And, you know, how much more does it take for you to finally say, you know what, maybe there's something to this Constitution. Maybe we should be adhering to that. With that being said, there was a lot of other talk, and I've heard on way too many shows this weekend about people complaining about these tariffs, some people supporting these tariffs. And like I said last week, tariffs and what Trump is going down this path of is basically, it's the same thing as corporate welfare, and it's tantamount to enabling bad behavior. The problem is that the unions have a tight grip in the steel industry here. And so instead of, you know, fixing wages, processes, and those types of things and getting the union out of those things, because how much money does the union make off of each steel employee, any steel worker employee? It's the same thing with anything. How much money does the union make off of an hourly wage of a nurse? Any type of skilled or educated labor force out there that happens to have the union involved in it, how much is that that they're making that could actually be going into the pockets of these employees? In other words, letting them keep their money. And that's why this case coming up where the Supreme Court is going to rule whether the union can actually start, you know, continue taking the dues and using it for the political advantage of furthering communism in the United States, because that's what they do. And let's be honest, folks, the Labor Party everywhere in the world is the Communist Party. The Labor Party here in America, which basically aligns to the unions, is the Democratic Party. So why are we even dancing around what the truth is here? The truth is that the labor movement is integral in supporting the communist movement so that everybody is kept at an equal. And the Marxist philosophy is all labor is equal. So regardless of all nurses and your competencies and capabilities, you all deserve the same amount of pay. And that, my friends, is a communist concept. Well, I'm out of time for this segment, but stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Rippey Homes is a family-owned business that has been building homes in the Spokane area for over a decade. For years, they've offered their customers an array of construction projects and services. But due to market demands, they now exclusively focus building high-efficiency homes and business offices, offering custom turnkey solutions for customers seeking to save money on operational costs while enjoying the latest innovations and construction technology. They understand many of these features can be expensive, but this is why they work closely with a team of leading designers to integrate the details and options that suit your needs. When it comes to translating designs into reality, the artisans they employ make this happen. If you're interested in building a cutting-edge dream home or office, then contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. Hey, folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So last week I was talking about creating selective tariffs, and actually I was calling this tantamount to the same thing as government welfare for corporations. If we are to honestly address this problem, then what we have to do is we actually have to look at all the taxes and tariffs that all nations place upon our goods. Because bottom line, are we a nation that believes in free trade? Then free trade means that corporations are competing at the same playing field as all other corporations. So if it's one steel company against another steel company, clothing manufacturer, or what have you, the intent is that these companies are all playing based on the same, you know, cost of labor. Actually, so there are different tangibles, but when you start injecting government subsidies, in other words, the Japan, South Korea, China, Soviet Union, or Russia, I should say, all of these different countries, and Europe is big with this because Europe has a value-added tax. That's what pays for their socialism. So they throw their value-added tax on all the goods that we send to them so that they can help pay and subsidize their manufacturers. Well, with that, why is it wrong for us to basically say, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take the you know, the goods that you send to us, and we're going to put taxes on that. We're going to, you can call it a value-added tax then instead of a tariff. That way, let's say it's a 13 or 27% tax on, you know, cars or what have you coming in, depending on what the EU is adding to the cost of the building of the car in any of those European nations, then we throw that on, and then we just relieve those companies that are doing that in the relationship with tax so that we can kind of help them, you know, level the playing field. And we should be doing this across the board. This should not be done for just one particular segment or market space within our commerce. What we need to be doing is making sure that all goods and products that are flowing from America are being taken freely and being sold freely on the market instead of being tariffed and taxed. And so how much goods does China bring into their, so there's deficits, and sometimes deficits are good, but when we have those types of deficits and we know that China is subsidizing their labor. And a good example of this, I don't know if I brought it up last week, but I'll bring it up now. South Korea just finally passed a work bill, or I should say a law, that now moves the required work week from, I think, 64 hours to 52 hours. So how would you like to be working in South Korea and having to work a, you know, well, first off, having to work 64 hours a week, that would be the required work week that companies could make you work for you to make a living. Well, now it's going to 52. Well, that's still 12 more hours, and 12 hours is more than a full day. If you're working an 8-hour day, 5 days a week, that's a full day and a half, actually. So what the laborers have to put up with in these other nations to help subsidize what the government is doing in being involved in all their aspects. So we have to basically level that playing field if we really want to be competitive, because bottom line, America could be the dominating force in manufacturing. America could be the dominating force in all things. It's just that we've constantly allowed foreign nations to, and I'll just say it again, they are subsidizing. And what ends up happening is we Americans are underwriting, we are paying for socialism and communism throughout the world. Only those nations that are truly competing with us, their product against our product in the market space, in their market space and our market space, is where we really have a free market. And you hear all of these people, especially the progressives, rail and complain about, oh, you know, you free marketers, that's just bad, that's evil, that's wrong, capitalism is terrible. And that's a facade, folks, because actually, there is no such as a thing as a free market. Everything that we've been doing to our market has been government manipulation by either responding to other governments or even our own government getting involved in capitalism and in trading in the FEC, or I should say in the stock market, whether that be Dow or NASDAQ or what have you. There are heavy government regulations involved in regulating those things, and or allowing these companies to do certain things to give them advantages and so forth. And I'm going, how is that a free market? A free market is where there is no government interference whatsoever between you and the proprietor, or, you know, whoever's selling the goods, or that stock and that investment and so forth, that there's no government oversight. Well, buyer beware, you know, there you could be getting scammed. If you want government to protect your 401ks or your investments, if you want government to protect the produce and those types of things, which state governments have been doing, and they do it really well, then okay, let your state governments do it. But if you want the federal government to do it, well, guess what you're going to have to do? Well, you're going to have to tell Congress that they need to amend the Constitution, because right now what they're doing is not an enumerated power. All of these things I've been going through in reading the Madison's veto and the Federalist Papers and the resolutions from Kentucky and Virginia, all of these things are pointing out to you that the government can't just do anything and everything they think is a good thing to do. The only way they can do it is if they go to the states by an amendment and say, would you please give us this power to do this? And so in moving a little bit further into the scope of labor and how the federal government has basically started even regulating labor and demanding that certain taxes be levied against every employee, such as Social Security, Medicare, and all of these other unconstitutional programs and taxes, is that in 1926, Congress put forth, and this was underneath, who was president? Calvin Coolidge. And most people say, oh, he was such a constitutional person. Well, yeah, he abided by the Constitution, which is why he had Congress put forth an amendment to see if the states would allow the federal government to regulate labor. Well, guess what? The states didn't allow it. They rejected the amendment. And then all of a sudden, we have a Department of Labor. So how did that happen? It didn't happen through the Article 5 process. It became a usurpation by FDR when he started threatening, stacking the courts to say, you can't stop me in doing what I'm going to do, or I'll stack the courts and get the results I wanted. Well, that's tyranny, folks. He was one of the worst despots that we ever lived under, because he truly ruled and overreached his constitutional boundaries and separations of power by threatening other branches. And the states have done nothing, because for two centuries, the states have been lulled into this narrative that the federal government is supreme in all things it needs to be, because that's how John Marshall started ruling, and that's how they started telling people. And they never pointed to these ratification debates, because had they done that, the states would have gotten really smart really quick and said, you know what, it doesn't say that here. What it says here is that we have all powers not given to you, and that you just can't use that supremacy clause to grant yourself a new power. That supremacy clause means that you're only supreme in making war and national defense. You're only supreme in these enumerated powers, not in anything you think necessary. And so, as we come into this break, I hope that has resonated with you so that you can start thinking and start realizing that you need to start doing something about this. And so please stay tuned. And after a word from my sponsors, we'll get right back and I'll get into this some more. Thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. I'm amazed at just how much Rippey Homes takes pride in their partnerships. From the designers they work with, the artisans they employ, and you, the homeowner, they relish in getting it right the first time. To do this, they place their focus up front on what you want and what you need and begin forming a plan like a sculptor taking care of the intricate details to ensure it meets your expectations. Whether you need innovation in a custom home to harmonize with the environment while offering the latest in building materials and technology, Rippey Homes takes a bottom-up approach that centers around you, the customer. They know that you are the integral component in the American dream, which is how they help you build your dream. To make your dreams become reality, contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so, as I was just talking about this underwriting of communism, and this fact that here in America, we have institution that is basically the Labor Party, known as the Democratic Party. And around the world, the Labor Party is called the Communist Party. I guess we're not capable here in America to create that association. But what we do have here is a subculture, and that's what we call the unions, and how they are really working hard in assisting the progress of basically collapsing the system. All of these different programs are basically inflating our currency and inflating our costs of living and everything else. And what ends up happening is that costs of welfare, everything starts going up to a point where there's just not enough producers to give to the takers. If you break it down by producers and takers, and that's the trouble, and that's the direction we're heading. In addition to our own internal problems of producers and takers, we're also supporting the takers of other nations. Because as these countries utilize the little productions that they have, they still got lots of people that they end up taking care of that aren't producers, and we're underwriting all of that. It's about time, because right now we're really not throwing tariffs out there. It seems like we want to have the high nose of nobility that we're above putting tariffs out and protection tariffs, but that's exactly what the world has been doing, and we've been paying for it. And so we really need to drive these concepts of free trade. And if we're going to do that, then we really need to start looking at this whole economic trade system in the light of, okay, so how much taxes are we paying for these goods that are coming in from these other places? Or how much taxes actually is being placed upon our goods going to these other places where we're not even taxing these other goods coming in? And so we need to basically equate the fact that we're taxing their stuff to basically pay for the taxes that they're putting on our stuff. And so that way we kind of create the even playing field. That then creates more of an equitable market. And what we should be doing is becoming proponents and trying to get everybody to come to the stage in a free market. Quit putting taxes on our stuff and compete with us on an even playing field. But not a lot of people want to do that because they have systems that are collapsing. If you understand, Europe, a lot of Europe, Spain, Portugal, Greece, and so forth, Italy, they're all having problems. Well, that's because they got 20-hour work weeks. You compare 20-hour work weeks in Europe to 62-hour work weeks in Korea and the work weeks in Asia, Central and Latin America, and so forth. And, it is not a pretty sight when you're trying to create an even playing field and you've got, a little bastion of socialism and bastions of communism around the world countering each other, because I'm sure China would love to get themselves into a situation where they're only working 20 hours a week. And I'm sure the same thing with everybody else in the world. They want to have the full entitlements and so forth. Everybody wants a free ride, but in all honesty, the person that really wants the most out of life wants the last thing from a free ride. They want to be able to work hard. They want to be able to get the credit for, the hard work that they do, be recognized for that, and be rewarded for that so that they can, slowly make a better life for themselves and their posterity. Anyway, I also heard recently that, and we're at the precipice constitutionally for something to happen, whether it be a financial collapse, whether it be war, whether it be a disease, a proliferation of some kind of a disease or what have you. But there are code words being thrown out by progressives, and they're being directly thrown out by the progressives over this gun talk. And that code word is coming, and this is what they're saying: we need to come to a fundamental agreement. In other words, you need to compromise and come over to an agreement that guns are a problem. And when they talk about a fundamental agreement, that means that forget about the laws, forget about everything else. We all have to agree on one thing. And they're not going to let you pull them back into the true fundamental agreement. They have a very specific desired agreement that they're seeking, and those desires are subjugation and control. That's all. That's precisely why we have constantly become the nation and the conservative party, or I should say the conservatives and constitutionalists, are constantly being compromised by the Republican Party by saying, okay, we'll allow this. We'll allow you to, stop prayer in school. We'll allow you to stop teaching the Bible. And so the consequences of that have been we've become an immoral society. The fundamental agreement needs to be that everything we've been doing has been wrong, and everything that they've been pursuing is wrong. They need to admit that, and they need to let us get back to the basics, the fundamentals that made this America great in the first place. If you understand what I'm saying, then why is it that those are not the dialogues and conversations that are happening? What they're doing is they're driving a narrative and saying, you have to come to an agreement with us that we have to have laws to control guns. We have to be able to do these things. And they're going to use a very similar argument in trying to discard the Constitution in dealing with a crisis. And that is why I keep trying to drive this home, that your legislatures need to be educated on the authority and the power they have over the Constitution. They should never allow the federal government to discard their contract. It's like somebody coming along and saying, it's like T-Mobile coming along and saying, we're going to discard your contract with Verizon because it's interfering with what we need to do. Well, so what? They're not a party in that contract. The federal government is not a party in our contract. They're only players in the powers that we've delegated to them in the contract, and that is it. Everything else that's not in that contract is left to the states. And so it's amazing how we continually allow the progressives to drive the narrative, and that's only because we don't understand the footing and the ground that we have in a superior sense by using the Constitution against them. I don't know why people don't do this, but apparently people think they're smarter and they think they can do this maneuvering and dancing or making a compromise here so they get, and everything that they're doing in these compromises and everything else so they can get something out of it is all self-serving, and none of it is constitutional and none of it is right, and it's all immoral and wrong. Right? I mean, anyway, so this coming to a fundamental agreement has to be stopped. We have to basically start calling and communicating to our state legislatures, hey, do not allow the federal government to step on our Constitution. They've done it before, and we do not want them to do it again. Now, another thing that came up in the news this week was this, I believe it's the Selma anniversary where the civil rights movement and that tragic day of unrest and so forth. But the perspective I have is, you know, how soon do we forget that we forget the things that we've just been confronted with? I mean, it's just like our attention span is that of a gnat. And one of the things I've heard, and I'm absolutely okay with creating monuments for historical purposes, but have we forgotten that there was just this fury of tearing down monuments for historical purposes? And so are we two-faced? Are we hypocritical? Or are we just that obtuse and that dim-witted to think that these two things don't connect? Because they absolutely do connect. And I think that having all of these monuments are critical to show the shifting and the enlightenment in this particular paradigm that we as a nation have been able to move forward with. And it, to me, it's critical that we maintain our history and keep it true to the reality of what history really was for us. And so I want to get into this in the last segment, because this is definitely worth talking about, because we've all had some opinions and been confronted with this in the past year. And so with that, I will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile,
I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
Thousands of people each month are moving to what is referred to as the Redoubt area. That's R-E-D-O-U-B-T. If you're tired of insane liberal policies and you have a growing concern in the ideological makeup of your community, you should do what many others are doing and look into joining us here in the Redoubt area. If you settle on moving to the Spokane area, you need to contact Rippey Homes to help you develop the ideal solution that can help you reduce your operational costs and reduce your dependence on the nation's aging infrastructure. Rippey Homes offers a full package service, including real estate, Passive Haus designers with an array of options to help you blend in with your surroundings. Why risk what is important, your family and your home? So check out Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com in the heart of the Redoubt country. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So let me move on. As I started going down this path of talking about basically raising up some monuments regarding the civil rights movements and so forth, and we've kind of have that already because there's lots of cities that have erected those types of things and so forth. Here's the interesting thing, and let's look at the history from a real macro view. Who was it that was coming to the New World and was basically conquering and putting in, you know, moving forward with the laws of nations? And actually, these nations were violating the laws of nations big time. The only really countries that actually tried to follow the laws of nations was France, England, Holland, and the Northern European nations. Portugal and Spain were the two culprits that were basically raping and pillaging the land, stealing from the indigenous folks, their gold, their silver. I mean, they had all sorts of ships filled with gold. And so here are these two European nations that got richer than any other nation in the world because they literally took all this gold and these jewels and everything else back. And look at today, how interesting history is, because those are the two poorest nations in Europe, as along with Greece and Italy and so forth. So I'm going, isn't this ironic how these nations that have stolen their way to, you know, their power and everything else and become such an indolent society that they're now, you know, desperate for, you know, being bailed out, support and so forth. But looking at this even further in the New Americas, I mean, they were moving forward and they had no desire for the North American or what we understand as the United States. They didn't have much desire for Mexico, as a matter of fact, because there wasn't a lot of riches there. And it became more barren and just, you know, land that would have to be developed and so forth. And Spain was more about getting rich quick. You know, where are some societies? Can we conquer them? Can we take their steel, you know, their goods from them? I mean, they were the robbers, you know, of these new worlds, and they got rich off of that, but they spent it like drunken sailors, and now they're broke. And now look at them. What happened to all that gold and all that those riches that were stolen? Even more so, they completely abandoned the United States, where they didn't want to have anything to do with it because that was a land of labor and a land of love that one would have to really want to invest sweat equity into in making it something. So they didn't see the future and what this area, the United States, held in opportunities. So because they didn't recognize that, they just left it for us. And so if you historically understand America as we started migrating from coast to coast, we actually bought some of this property twice from Mexico. Santana sold it to us. We were legally given the land. And then Santana came back and said, "Ah, you know what? I don't recognize that. I need more money. So you gotta pay me more money." And so we actually paid this twice for some of these areas. And the interesting thing is that because they didn't want it, they just kind of passed it off and said, "Yeah, you can kind of have that. That's just out there. It's isolated and we don't need it now." But now all of a sudden that we've been able to develop this republic with all of its infrastructure and all of its interoperations and everything else, it's become a true gem and an economic force to the world. There's no doubt about it. Adam Smith said and recognized what America's potential could be. And James Madison also mentioned that, and I talked about that last week, how he saw that America would become the economic force that could literally overpower the world. And so why is it that all of a sudden we are getting this massive influx? And what does this have to do with Selma? Well, so as we start making monuments and taking note of history, I think it's really important that we kind of make some monuments a long, long time ago to say, you know what, Spain and Portugal really didn't want this area. They saw no strategic value for North America and or the United States, the area of the United States. And you got to understand that Mexico, if you know the history, Mexico wasn't even an independent nation for, you know, even a decade yet before they started trying to sell off, you know, their land so that they could fight their wars and do their thing because, you know, acorns don't fall far from the tree. And so that's one of the reasons why, and a friend of mine who I've had on this show, on my show in Spokane a few times, and I hope to have him on this show soon. His name's John Hancock. He studied this exact same stuff that I studied here. And he points out that these two nations, Spain and Portugal, were despotic nations. They wanted to live off of the labor and toils and the fruit and treasures of other nations, but they didn't want to really develop engines of commerce and that type of stuff. They didn't care about a mercantile system, you know, that England was doing and France and all these other nations. And here comes America and says, you know what, we're casting off this mercantile system. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go towards a free market system, and we're going to beat you at this. And we did. We beat the world. So let me go back on one thing on the steel thing. If you studied history and you understand what DuPont was doing, DuPont was selling borax, and they were competing against Europe. And I forget what book this is. I think it may be a Thomas Woods or a Gutzman book, a politically incorrect book on history, American history. But I remember reading and looking this up that the DuPont company was selling borax at a cheaper rate or at a cheaper cost than Germany was able to sell in Europe. And so what they decided to do was they decided to do a little trade war with DuPont, and they started dumping borax that was cheaper than what they could sell, what they could sell it for. So you know what DuPont did? They bought it up, and then they turned around and sold it. So they were literally, as it was shipping in, they were buying all of it at a cheaper price than what they could, what it would cost them to make. And then they would turn right around and make it for and sell it for the price that they were selling borax for here in America. And so they undermined precisely what Germany was trying to do. And there's no reason why the steel industry can't do that too if there's truly dumping going on and they're dumping steel at a cheaper rate. Then I think these American steel companies can come in and go, you know what, that's what we'll do. We'll buy that up, and then we'll resell it at a higher price so that all the steel that's being sold in America is being sold through these steel American steel companies. And that would be one way of dealing with this as well. And that's the free market. But again, you got to remember that all things aren't equal. And the reason that these companies nowadays are being able to dump electronics and these types of things into American soil is because the government is subsidizing these costs. So anyway, let me get back, because I'm almost out of time, back to this historical inflection on what was happening here in the Americas and the fact that we're looking at creating monuments. I think we need to create a monument that, you know, basically recognizes, you know, these areas, San Diego and going across the southern border, so that people understand that this was an area that Spain and Portugal saw no value in. And so, you know, here you go. Now we've created monuments that we've been able to make this land, you know, on our own toil and on our own hard work and sweat, and develop such a prosperous nation because of our hard work and efforts. And now we've got this, you know, this unquenchable desire from our neighbors of the South that want to move here. They want to move here because it's the land of... No, actually, it's the same mind model. They want to come here for the free handouts. They don't want to work. The few that do want to work, we want them to come here. And as a matter of fact, if we get rid of the entitlement system, you want to have a mass export, a mass self-exportation. In other words, getting people to leave on their own volition, then get rid of entitlements, and you'll probably find people go, you know what, I'd much rather go down to Mexico because I can live a little easier down there because it's not as cold, or back to Central America. And, you know, that's better than freezing up here without, you know, and having to work hard to just stay alive than just surviving on the streets or doing whatever I can back home. People will leave. People will leave if all of a sudden we turn the spigots off and we stop spending the trillions of dollars on these welfare programs and these welfare entitlements, whether they be corporation or individual. It's all unconstitutional. The federal government has no power to do this, and we've got to stop allowing them to do this. And the day we start holding them accountable to the Constitution and staying within that framework is the day we begin reclaiming the Republic. And that's why I need you to start getting motivated and start learning about Republic Review and by reading my executive summaries and getting involved and start contacting your leaders, your Republican leaders and grassroots leaders, and saying, you need to check this out because this is the process of how to do this. Anyway, we're out of time for this show. We will be back tomorrow. God bless, and I hope you have a great day, what's left of it. Thank you so much.